As we distribute the manifold and the multifaceted grace of God to brothers and sisters in Christ and to a needy world. And when we do that, we bring glory and honor to Him. And each one of us have got part of the puzzle. Each one of us have got a facet of the beautiful picture of God to show to the world. And it's as we work as a body that these things come to their fullness. And we've been looking at the Corinthian gifts. And today we're going to continue with that. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills." We just see that beautiful God is the distributor to each one, and every single one of us have got a role to play in this. And last week we started to look at the nine Corinthian gifts, the gifts of the Spirit as they're called, and we saw the first three are the gifts of revelation, and that's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then the next three are the gifts of power, which are faith, healing, and working of miracles. We haven't got time to recap on that today, but if you want to hear the teaching on that, you can get it on the Facebook page or on the website. You can get the audio there. I encourage you, if you're interested, to go there and listen to those. But today we're going to look at the last group of gifts, and that's the three spoken or declaration gifts. And that's the prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And these are very special gifts, and we'll see as we read the book of Corinthians and the three chapters in Corinthians that are about the gifts, you'll see there's a tremendous excitement in the Spirit as Paul writes about these gifts. There's something special about them, and it's almost like what the Scripture says lifts them to this place of importance that we don't want to miss, and especially the gift of prophecy. So they're hugely important. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 14, we'll see here that it says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, and he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." We see here again that word eagerly desire. And remember that word is zeloo, which we get the English word zeal for that. And it means we should have a zeal for these spiritual gifts. We should have a warm feeling towards them. We should earnestly pursue them. We should devote time to them and get to know them and understand them, not be ignorant of them. And here Paul's gets, if you look at the language of this, he's so excited about tongues and prophecy because of their power to encourage the church. And he says, if you look in just verse 12 or verse 14, he says, "So you yourselves, since you are eager," same word there, zeloo, "for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." So he's saying, be eager for all these gifts, but strive, and that word strive there also means to desire, to endeavor, to obtain, to pursue with an energy and an earnestness. Strive for the ones that build up the church. And he says that you may excel, and that's a beautiful getting lots of background music today. Sorry, I've lost my... Must be an emergency, otherwise Sandy wouldn't answer a phone in church or somebody, family. Yes, that word excel. That word excel means to superabound or to be in excess. So Paul is saying, I want you to superabound in the gifts. I don't want you just to settle for enough is enough. He's saying, go after some and go after more. Be in excess. We want an excess of the Holy Spirit speaking to people to bring words of encouragement when they're facing mountains, when they're facing the challenges. But words of encouragement that just put the strength back into the soul to carry on. Excel. Let us excel. Let us superabound in these gifts. So let's start with looking at what Scripture says about these things. And we're going to start with prophecy. Now, prophecy is a message from the Lord, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to a gathering of believers or to individuals. So it's something, it's a very interesting word, the word prophecy. If we break it down in the Greek, pro means before or in front of or prior to. And then the rest of the word comes from phos, which means a light. We talk about phosphorus and phosphorescent. That's light or fire. And then the other word is phaino, which means to appear, to reveal. So a prophecy technically is light ahead of an incident. It's to reveal, it's the appearing of light, the giving of light, the manifestation of light, or even fire, which is, I like that picture. I'm maybe reading a little bit into the Greek here, but there's also a passion, there's also an energy, an excitement brought about for that which is to come. When prophecy is spoken from the Lord. And prophecy always brings enlightenment and encouragement and understanding. Now, if we look at the use of prophecy throughout Scripture, we'll see that it very often has something to do with the future. It has an element of declaring the future, but it's sometimes just a general declaration, a declaration of truth, a proclaiming of that which God wants to say, an uttering forth. So, but in essence, it's not speaking words that have come from human logic or from human inspiration, but by direct inspiration from the Holy Spirit to encourage others. And so it's so powerful. Can you just think about it? God's people speaking God's words. And the wonderful thing is that 99% of what God says to us, He says to us in the Word. We just have to open up the Bible. We've got the living Word of God that tells us how to live in most circumstances. We're faced by a challenge. We're faced by a temptation. We open up the Word of God, and it says there, "This is what you must do. Live like this. You can't. You've got to do this. You shouldn't do that. You must do that." 99% of what God is going to bring Him pleasure and be His will is written in the Word. But sometimes there's specifics that we don't read there, like when you have to make a choice, when you're asking God what He wants to do with your life. An example that was a tremendous blessing to me was a time when, after years of ministry, I felt like the Lord was saying I should go out into something new, and I was praying about it, and the Lord brought to mind the Mercy Ships, which was a Christian hospital ship that I worked on for 5 years, but it was a huge step. I was 37. I didn't have the resources for it. It was a massive change in my life, and I was praying about this and thinking, this is just crazy, you know, even thinking about this is crazy. And a friend of mine was praying for me as I was seeking the Lord's will, and she said, "Bruce, I see you dressed up in a naval uniform, and I see you ready to go out into the nations, and God is saying He's going to send you out into the nations, but I don't know why I'm seeing you in this naval uniform." She didn't know that the only thing I was thinking about was to go on one of these mission fleet ship, you know, fleet of mission ships. So then I looked into it and I found out that the Lord started to join all the dots. But the funny thing was, I joined the ship in the deck department, and the deckies had to guard the ship, and we had to stand in a naval uniform and guard the gangway. So she actually, I thought it was just a picture of that I was going onto a ship, but it was actually, she actually saw me there standing doing gangway watch. But it gave clarity. It was a specific detail. I wasn't going to find that in the Scripture, Bruce. Go to Mercy Ships. But God spoke and He encouraged, and I went off on this crazy adventure. God provided, but I knew that God was speaking. And isn't that wonderful? God of heaven speaking to us. What a blessing to the recipient. But what about her? God of heaven speaking through her. What a blessing to the deliverer. And this is God, this is just like God showing, I'm a living, active, speaking God, speaking by the Holy Spirit. What a treasure, what a thing to know. No wonder Paul says, go after this stuff. Get more of it, get as much of you can of it as possible. And we're going to look at it, just look through some scripture at prophecy and the things that God has done through prophecy. And I just want to acknowledge that when it comes to these things, I know quite often these things have been misused and abused, and sometimes people have had bad experiences, and then we tend to want to draw back from them. But let's go to God's word and let's get clarity there and settle our hearts, because there's so much more that God has for us in these areas. Prophecy can predict and declare something before it happens. If we look in Acts 11, verse 27 to 30, it says, now these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. How awesome is this? The Holy Spirit just says, there's a famine coming. Long before I don't think they had weather forecasters or anything in those days, but long before the thing even happened, he said, the brothers in Jerusalem are going to be in trouble. There's going to be a severe famine. Start making a plan to help them. Keep my church alive in that city. And they were able to do something about it. Unfair advantage against the devil. But that's what we need. And God gives us that unfair advantage by telling us things in advance. Sometimes we can actually, by speaking, we can bring things. It's actually the speaking forth of God's word that brings the thing about. And we look in Ezekiel 37, verse 5, 3 to 5, and then 7 to 8. And this is, the Lord says to Ezekiel, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Love that. Thus says the Lord. And he says to Ezekiel, say those words, speak those words, speak my words over that situation. It might look dead, it might look dry, it might look barren, but this is what I say. Breath, life, vitality. Now declare it, now prophesy it. And then in verse 7 it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Not out of his own, but as God commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them. And then he prophesies again, and they're filled with the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? That God's word brought everything into being out of nothing. His word spoke, and there it was. How powerful is God's spoken word? But here's God saying, I'm going to speak to you to speak my word over your family, over circumstances, over the nation. Speak my word and my will. And even as we speak, there is a power in that declaration. And God brings things about. So exciting. Such exciting stuff that God can use us in that way. God can, the prophecy can give guidance to church strategy. Acts 13 verse 2, it says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, see the focus, they were abiding in God's presence, they were connecting with God. They weren't primarily trying to like find an answer, find a solution. They were seeking the Lord. And then the Lord spoke and he said to them, the Holy Spirit said, what beautiful words. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them, and send them out. And they went out, obviously, in the anointing and the call and the purpose of God. Prophecy can also clarify and confirm the personal calling and mission. And we love these beautiful passages in 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. It says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. And in Timothy 4:14 it says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. There's two accounts in Scripture that the Holy Spirit chose to put into Scripture about Timothy's prophecies. And when he was prayed for and given these prophecies. And isn't it beautiful? This is now not just a general prophecy to the church, but this is a specific word from the Lord to an individual's heart concerning their destiny, concerning their calling, their purpose. And he got this personal word when the group of elders prayed and prophesied over him. But something beautiful happened there because they confirmed his calling. Not only that, they released the gift because Paul said the gift was given when they prophesied. As they spoke it, God said, there's the gift. And Timothy was used powerfully. He was used apostolically and as a shepherd across different churches. But God said, as he spoke, whatever that word is, we don't know what it is. It was a personal word to Timothy, but it confirmed his gifting. It released that gifting. And it gave him courage because Paul says, fight with that prophecy. The enemy's going to oppose God's purpose in your life. But that's when you've got to stand up and you say, I'm not listening to this lie. I'm not even listening to the circumstances. I'm not accepting the dry bones that I see in front of me. I remember what God has said to me. And I'm going to declare that. I'm going to declare the truth of God. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. I'm going to speak forth what God has said and not give up. And I've had the blessing over my life of many years of being in places where prophecy has been spoken. And time and time again, a person who doesn't know me from a bar of soap, they go, you there, you love God's word. You love to study God's word. And you love to teach God's word. And God's calling you to teach God's word. And God opened door after door after door. It's been my life calling. And still someone else again years later will say the same thing. And I say, Lord, I've got it. But the thing is, the trouble is when you face opposition and you think, oh, I'm not cut out for this. This is too hard. I think I'll give up. Then you wage war. You say, no, the Lord said what I've got to be doing. And we wage war knowing what God has said over our lives. We do that also with all the general scripture that God has given us. But we the word of God is powerful to encourage us.
Amen.
Amen, yes. Amen, amen. Beautiful. It brings great encouragement to the body of Christ. It's another thing that prophecy does. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says this, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Other words that are used in different translations are edification, comfort, and exhortation. And this is what's so beautiful about a prophecy, a word from the Lord. Remember this, a word from the Lord is a word from a loving Father who is totally committed to our welfare. And he's not like an earthly father who's sometimes irritable, who's sometimes impatient, who's sometimes frustrated. He's the most incredible Father. And when he speaks a word, it might have an element of discipline in it, it might have an element of challenge, but it's going to come from the most beautiful Father heart that there is. And I want to tell you, next week we're going to talk a little bit more about testing prophecy and how prophecy. If somebody says to you, they're speaking to you from the Father, and you don't recognize the heart of your Father in the way that message is coming, then there's something wrong. Because as I say, it can be correction. Remember the lady I talked about last week? She said, I see a buried body. And the man broke down and he confessed that he had murdered his wife. But he came to repentance. It wasn't a judgment. It revealed God's truth and God's grace. So isn't that beautiful? God's word always encourages. The New Testament prophecy always brings the heart of God. In the Old Testament, sometimes the prophet was standing and speaking the judgment of God against a nation. New Testament, it encourages, exhorts, and lifts up. Doesn't mean it can't discipline and correct, but it's always got the heart of the Father as a guidance. It never breaks down or discourages or disturbs. It can unsettle our flesh sometimes, but it's always got that comfort from the Father. Acts 15, verse 32. Sorry, I'm just going to blow my nose. Hannes isn't the only one who battles through without the tears. It says, and Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Isn't that beautiful? The words strengthened them, established them, and encouraged them. How much we need that so often in life. Proverbs verse 18:21, we know that lovely. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And how awesome that we can speak God's words, the words of the one who brought worlds into existence. There's such life in God's word, and we can bring that. We can speak truth from God with incredible insight into a person's heart to wipe out the graffiti of the devil.
Thank you, Lord.
That he's tried to write on our lives. The untruths, that circumstances and things, words that have been spoken over us, things that have happened that have stunted us by putting a truth, a false truth, not a truth, a lie into our hearts. The truth of God can wipe out that graffiti and set us free. I love the story. A pastor friend of mine, he was driving along one day, and there was a car in front of him in the traffic, and the Holy Spirit took the number plate, the number of the car, and like impressed it in his spirit. And he thought, whoa, that was weird. Why did that happen? And a few weeks later, he was in a service, and the Lord highlighted a lady at the back of the church, and the Lord said to her, it was her number plate. And he got a word from the Lord, and he said, excuse me, lady back there, Susan. He said, yes, Susan, the Lord's telling me that he knows your name. In fact, he even knows your registration number. This is your car registration number. This woman starts to sob. And he says, the Lord wants you to know that he knows you, and he knows your battle, and he knows your struggle. This lady came to me afterwards. She was going to commit suicide. And a friend of hers had talked her into coming to church, and she thought, I'm going to go to that church. And she said, and she was sitting there saying, God doesn't know who I am. He doesn't care. He doesn't know my name. And God rescued her life with a prophetic word. I know your name. I know your number. And I care about you. And you can just imagine the power of that encouragement in her life. That's the power of prophecy. Doesn't it make you hungry to pursue it? To learn how to hear like that. Now that guy has learned over the years, and I mean that's pretty accurate, but the Holy Spirit is in each one of us, and he wants to use us in this way. Secondly, we're going to look at tongues. Let's try and just go into tongues as well. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5 says this, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. And then in verse 18 it says, and I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. And here again we see the gift of tongues is a hugely profitable gift. Paul is very excited about it. He said, well, for one thing, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But he says, I want you all to speak in tongues. But even more importantly, to prophesy. So there's prophecy again, trumping it. But he's saying, I'd love it that everybody speak in tongues. So there's a huge positivity around this gift. And we'll see why. We'll see that it's such a powerful gift, both privately and publicly. Now, what I want to say, I've wrestled. There's so much to say. I'm gonna maybe put a little bit more in next week. But what the Bible doesn't say about tongues, the Bible says so often the manifestation of God, the presence of God's Spirit, the outpouring of God's Spirit, so often was accompanied by tongues. But every time the Spirit was poured out, it doesn't always mention tongues. And so, what we understand about tongues are hugely. It's a very common way that the Spirit expresses life. There was also praise, worship, prophecy, extolling God. The Holy Spirit always brought a boldness to speak God's word, but very often there was tongues. But if you haven't spoken in tongues, it doesn't mean that you are a second-class citizen. It doesn't mean that tongues is the only sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to clarify that. But on the other hand, it's a beautiful gift. And it's a powerful gift. And God, Paul says, I wish you would all speak in tongues. And we're going to look at the difference between a declared tongue and a personal tongue. But we might have to get into next week to do that. But it's a very desirable gift. And I would encourage everybody to go to 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. It's all about the operation of the gifts, with chapter 13 in the middle about how everything must be done in love. But go and meditate and speak to the Lord and let him speak to you. But let's just look at the gift of tongues. There's two applications that we see coming out here. And one is a message or declaration of praise and exaltation from a believer to God. And that, if it's interpreted, which is where the other gift comes in, the interpretation of tongues, it's a hugely encouraging message to the body. So that's the public use of tongues. But then there's the private use of tongues, which is the devotional language that assists an individual believer in their prayer life and builds them up. So let's go to scripture. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation, knowledge, or prophecy or teaching?" And then reading on in verse 12, it says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager to manifest for the manifestations of the Spirit, try to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." And then reading on in verse 27, it says, "If I speak in a tongue, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or at the most 3, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one in the church to interpret, let each keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God." And that's really interesting. So the message of the interpretation of tongues is a declaration. It's very often a declaration of worship. It's the spirit working on the spirit of a believer to declare praise and thanksgiving and the greatness of God. When that's interpreted, the brothers and sisters can go, "Amen, yes, God's like that." Like the guys in the book of Acts, when they said, "We hear these guys declaring the greatness of God in our own language." And there's a declaration that everyone can join in and they can say their amens. And that then the gift of interpretation unlocks the meaning of that message in tongues, in the language, the common language of the group. And what a wonderful gift! It's similar to prophecy, but as we see, it has slight subtle differences. And there's not a redundancy here because, for one thing, these are more often declarations to God, whereas prophecies are declarations from God. And also, when someone is speaking in a tongue, it's beautiful because it involves the body. It's something that doesn't just necessarily involve one person. It involves more than one person. And then the Bible also says it's a sign to unbelievers. And we're not 100% sure what that means, but there's been so many testimonies when someone's given a tongue and then someone's given an interpretation And there's been a foreigner, and they've got up to the person with the, that brought the interpretation, or the person who brought the tongue, and say to them, "I didn't know you could speak Spanish. I didn't know you could speak Greek." And the person was like, "No, I can't." And they'll say, "Well, that message you gave was in perfect Greek, and the interpretation was exactly what you said." And that's a sign that an unbeliever is going to go, "Wow, this is the Holy Spirit." I heard a story where someone was praying in tongues, and their friend said, "That sounds very much like Hebrew." So they said, "You really think so?" And they phoned up the local synagogue, and they got the rabbi, and they said, "Can I ask you if this sounds like Hebrew?" And the person started speaking, and after a while the rabbi said, just keep going, you've just introduced me to my Messiah. Wow. There's so many stories like that of how tongues is used as a sign. But that's just the proof of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's so beautiful. Bev, those next two scriptures, I think I've just shared it. So they're there in scripture if you guys look at it. And then we're going to go to the devotional language. So if we look in Corinthians 14, verse 2 and 4 and 28, and this is just rehashing, re-looking at what we said. The one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, and no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Verse 4 says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And verse 14 says, verse 28 says, he speaks to himself and to God. Isn't this beautiful? This is tongues without an interpretation. But look at what the lovely things that it talks about. It says you're talking secrets to God. Your spirit communing with God, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Intimate, personal, private prayer. Mysteries, speaking mysteries to God. No wonder that builds us up. No wonder that builds up our spirit. And it can be worship as well, because Paul says, when I speak in a tongue, my mind doesn't know what's going on. And that's very helpful sometimes, because then our mind can't get in the way. Sometimes we're trying to pray in faith and the mind says, no, impossible. No, that'll never happen. And we're praying in tongues, our spirit's just going for it. And they're praying according to the will of God. And they're praying and our mind doesn't get in the way. But we can also worship like that. Paul says, and I will do it. When I'm worshiping in tongues or speaking in tongues, my mind is not active, but my spirit is active. So he says, I'll do both. And he says, obviously in church, I don't want to be just going off in tongues that nobody else can benefit. In church, I want to be thinking about edifying the body. But what a wonderful and powerful gift for our own personal prayer language that we see that is. And it builds us up. Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be hungry for these gifts, to pursue these gifts. Next week we're going to look at, there's a lot of instructions about how just to operate these within the body, how to have the safeguards so that you don't get into crazy stuff. It's so easy to abuse and to speak out of human flesh and say that it's prophecy. It's so beautiful though that God put us in a body, and in the body there's checks and balances, there's safeguards. We have the word, we have the body, and it's a place where we can learn about these gifts and where we can grow. And that's something beautiful. And the last scripture I want us to look at, just as a closing inspiration. It says in Zechariah 4 verse 6, then he said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that beautiful? God says it's not power, not might, not human personality or ability. It's going to be by my spirit. And guys, we face a challenging situation, a resistant world, people who don't want to hear the gospel. We need a game changer. And the game changer is the power of the Holy Spirit, the operation of these gifts. So let's pursue them. I had this beautiful dream that I came to this crystal clear river. And as I plunged into it, it was just like warm and comfortable, but it had this quality about it. It was like a sparkling freshness, cleanness, purity, beauty, comfortable. And I believe it's a picture of the Spirit that God wants us to plunge into and go deeper into without fear in our hearts, with expectation as a body, as we expect God to do more and more. So let's be that people. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you so much for just the wonderful words that we find in the Bible, Lord, and all these chapters that you set aside for the church to learn how to operate in these wonderful gifts, Lord. And to be honest, Lord, our flesh, our natural man doesn't understand them, Lord. They're kind of supernatural to us, but that's just how you intended it, Lord. And we just want to open our hearts. We want you to take us deeper into that river, Lord. And we want you to speak to us. We want you to fan into flame the gifts that are within us, Lord. Wake them up, stir them up by your Spirit, Lord. Impart some and wake some and renew some and grow some. And help us to be the people that can be a blessing to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to worship the Lord again a little bit. We've got a couple of songs.